I'm just relaxed. How about you? Exhale. Go ahead. Everything's going to be okay tonight. We're here to celebrate the greatest story ever told. And we're in on it. So we're glad you're here tonight. And we pray that it'll be a blessed evening for you and your family. If you don't have family, we're especially glad you're here. We are moved that you would entrust us to come and be present with us. And you wouldn't celebrate Christmas alone, but you would come and let us be a part of that. Tonight we have lit the fourth candle of Advent and also the Christ candle. And so we ought to sing, do some real big singing on that. And so I'm not sure what's next, but I'm sure Joe is real sure what's next. I'd like to pray, Lord, tonight we so welcome you. We've done that once, but come, embrace us, give to us yourself. Your presence is what we long for. And the people said, thank you.
Now, we had a wonderful time this morning worshiping the Lord. There was over 800 people in this room in one service. I wouldn't trade this moment for that. I love it when we gather in the evening. All is dark now outside. Kind of like it was 2,000 years ago. The world was dark. And light showed up in Bethlehem. Amen. Now we're at that time when the kids get to have a little celebration. So during this next song, we're going to, the choir will sing it. And kids, just meet Sarah right down front here. She's going to be having a little thing here for you. So kids of all ages, well, maybe you should be children's church age might be best. You might feel silly sitting on the floor. But kids, go ahead and come on down. While we sing this great, it's not a typical carol you might find in a hymn book, but I love this song, Christmas Time is Here. It celebrates the season so wonderful.
Oh, it's your birthday? Happy birthday. On the count of three, I think we should all say happy birthday. Ready? One, two, three. Happy birthday! That's awesome. A Christmas Eve birthday. That's amazing. I was here this morning and I did not, you were here this morning, you can tell them it's true that I did not tell them this in the first service. But this morning when I got up, I thought I was going to get a head start on all the things I had to do for tomorrow. And I pulled out the china and I was cleaning it up and I put in some brownies to bake and I had put off getting myself dressed and ready to go. I put the brownies in to bake and the power went out at my house. And in the whole county, there was only 9 houses without power. It was my block. And so here's a little secret. Don't tell them. But I brought my hair dryer to church with me this morning, and I dried my hair up. They don't know. It's just you guys. But sometimes I tell you that so that you know that sometimes your plans, they get a little messy. What you think is going to happen doesn't really go the way you plan it to. That's right. That's right. This morning you heard me say it makes me think that sometimes it's a Christmas instead of a Christmas. That's right. But things weren't going exactly how Mary and Joseph had thought it would go. And this book, Goodnight Manger, has been reminding me this season how to find peace amidst the mess. If you can't see the book, I'll move it around. But then also behind me, there's pictures on the screen, if you can see that too. Stars are twinkling, baby's fed. Mama says, it's time for bed. Hug him, squeeze him, hold him tight. Dim the lantern, say good night. In the manger, baby goes, wiggles fingers, wiggles toes. Hen and donkey gather round. Hush, says Papa, not a sound. Cluck, he's cute. Oh, yes, hee-haw. Now sleepy baby starts to... Brazed donkey, time for bed. Here's a pillow for your head. Hay smells sweet, but how it itches. Baby wriggles, squirms, and twitches. Hen adds feathers, soft and brown. Baby grabs some, snuggles down. Soon, hosannas overhead rouse the little sleepy head. Angel voices shout with joy. Meet this precious baby boy. Mama says, be quiet, please. Your voices carry o'er the breeze. Pa rocks baby to and fro. Does he slumber? No, no, no. Flying angels and a star soon bring help from near and far. Goats clink horns and foxes dance. Will baby doze now? Not a chance. Sheep leap railings, tipping pails, tumble, splash, poor baby wails. So much noise, he just can't sleep. Then tap, tap, tap behind the sheep. 3 kings knock at stable door with royal pomp and gifts galore. Mama's frantic in a tizzy. Who knew stables were this busy? Mama says, here's what we'll do. Sing a quiet song or two. Then with voices big and small, gentle singing fills the stall. Baby smiles, baby sighs, stretching, yawning, rubbing eyes. Baby sleeps as stars on high twinkle to the lullaby. Good night, manger. Good night, stall. Time to sleep now, one and all. It has warmed my heart to think this year that it is in worship that we find, worshiping Jesus, that we find his peace. And it is a sweet, sweet thing. And speaking of a sweet, sweet thing, I have a candy cane for you to take on your way back.
Dream. Let's stand together as we sing Away in a Manger.
Songbird back from Spain, Haley. Welcome her back. Welcome home, Haley. And let's have a hand for Sarah and that beautiful story about the stable. Beautiful. You can be seated. And this time our ushers are going to help us to continue in worship on this Christmas Eve. We've been ringing the bell over at the Salvation Army Post at the neighborhood Walmart. Ever since the day after Thanksgiving, it's been a really, really wonderful time. Sometimes some challenging logistics to keep somebody at the bell every hour. But you've been so faithful. If any of you in the room rung the bell, would you please stand and let us have a hand for you? Praise God. That's wonderful. Wow. Thank you. You are definitely on the nice list. And you should get extra Christmas gifts. Tonight, we receive our regular tithes and offerings that help us keep the lights on here at the church and some other things more essential than that even. Keep the light burning in the Shenandoah Valley and beyond. But everything that comes loose plate tonight and this morning, anything that's not earmarked cash will go to the Salvation Army. And so we're going to make one more kettle contribution, and hopefully we can help them start January in the black. So every year, it's a new tradition. I think this is like the third year that we've received a Christmas Eve offering for Salvation Army. So whatever you give extra tonight, anything that's not designated, will go to help with this need. And we're so glad to partner with the Salvation Army. The ushers are going to begin to pass the plates. And at this time, I would like to say there's an attendance pad that may be at the end of your row. It's just a little 8.5 by 11 pad. And we're going to be having some good things happening here in the next couple weeks. We have a series on the second coming of Jesus, 2-week series, and I think it'll be of value to your life. And then also on January 7th, the first Sunday of the new year, we're having a celebration Sunday. We're just going to celebrate all that God has done through our lives through the Christmas season. So we're going to report some things, but we're also going to have baptism the first Sunday of January. So if you would like to be baptized, please tonight as the little sheet comes by, just put your name and the alphabet, just circle B for baptized, and we'll have someone in contact with you. But we'd like for everyone to fill the sheet out. We promise we won't send the church motorcycle gang to your house to check on you. It's just to let us know that you're here, and we keep records and keep you a part of knowing what's happening in our future as a local church. If you don't have a local church home and you're looking for something to do in the new year to begin a new search for Christ or maybe continue your search, we welcome you to be a part of our local church family. At this time, we're going to have a song, and I think it's going to thrill your heart. I'll let Pastor Joe do a little setup on it here.
Well, this is called Mary's Boy Child, and it seems like this song may be gaining some popularity in the last couple of years. I knew it as a kid growing up, but it seems like a lot of people don't know it. And it's actually a Caribbean Christmas carol. So I asked my dear brother, Joel Luna, who hails from the Caribbean, the Dominican, and he's going to sing it for you. I think it might be a Jamaican Christmas carol, but it's all the same. Jamaican, Dominican. See, they rhyme.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. So you got it. Okay, let's try this together. See if we can get a little Jamaican beat here.
Bright new shining star. Then hear a choir sing. The music seems to come from afar. Now Joseph and his wife Mary come to Bethlehem that night. They found no place to bear their child. Not a single room was inside. Trumpets sound and angels sing. Listen to what they say. That men will live forevermore because of Christmas Day. By and by they found a little nook in a stable all forlorn. And in a manger cold and dark, Mary's little boy was born. Hark now, hear the angels sing. A king was born today. And men will live forevermore because of Christmas Day. Trumpets sound and angels sing. Listen to what they say. We'll live forevermore because of Christmas Day. Yes, men will live forevermore because of Christmas Day.
I wish y'all would leave on a cruise now. I promise you, some cruise ship right now, they are singing that song somewhere. I asked Pastor Jeff if we could have that song. He said, well, you asked for it last year. And I said, I am from the island, man. He said, if you'll play the congos. I said, okay. You know how you learn to play the congos? By beating the dashboard of your dad's vehicle growing up. He would say, quit. I said, Dad, I'm training. You know, talk about a gift. Wow. Wrapped in red. Don't we love Brian Charette? I mean, how can you not love this man? I mean, he is just something else. Anyway, I asked Brian, I said, Brian, I heard you tell one of the best Christmas stories from your childhood that I have ever heard, and we need a good Christmas story tonight, so please come tell it. And he said, I will do that. So take your time, take your time.
Thank you. Appreciate you making a big deal of me. That always, it's exactly what I want. He plays right into my hands. It was a long time ago. I was 9 years old, and I wanted a particular gift for Christmas more than I had ever wanted a gift before, and probably more than I've ever wanted a gift since. I wanted a Coleco table hockey game, the kind with the goalie who moves side to side and the players that would move in any direction you wanted as long as it was straight forward and straight back. The authentic scoreboard with the puck dropping mechanism. It was wonderful. It was not a video game. Make sure you understand. I mean, this was at a time when there was just barely electricity. It was not a video game. It was also not air hockey. That's just a cheap imitation. This was the real thing, a Coleco table hockey game with sharp metal edges and choking hazards and all the stuff that we had back then. But I knew that I wasn't going to get it. I mean, and that was an outlandish Christmas list item, lavish. And I knew that there was no chance that I was going to get it. So even as a 9-year-old, I learned to ratchet down my expectations. I mean, I told people that I wanted it, but I knew I wasn't going to get the Coleco table hockey game. So I was prepared to be grateful for what I knew I would get. I knew my grandmother would get me 2 quarters and soap on a rope. And I'm not sure what that says when you get a 9-year-old hygiene products, but so I was prepared in my mind to be grateful for my 2 quarters and soap on a rope. And I knew that I wasn't going to get the Coleco table hockey game. And so we all woke up on Christmas morning because we didn't do that thing. You open one present on Christmas Eve. That is so cheating. You don't open one present on Christmas Eve. You open all your presents on Christmas morning. That's the American thing to do, and that's what we did. That's right. So I woke up. We all went into our little living room, and there under our tree, there it was. This giant rectangle. The biggest present under the tree, this massive, beautiful rectangle wrapped in red paper with green cartoon elves. And I knew this was not soap on a rope. I knew immediately what it was. But what was interesting was when I approached it and lovingly knelt down beside it and somewhere angels sang, it didn't say to Brian from Mom and Dad or to Brian from Santa. It said to Brian from Bruce. And Bruce was my older brother. And I later learned that apparently Bruce decided that he wanted me to have that dream gift. And so he went to all the people in our family and said, I want you to know I'm not going to get you anything this year because I want to earn extra money, pool all my money, and get Brian this Coleco table hockey game. And it was a dream come true. And, you know, it wasn't one of those things that, one of those toys where you play with it on Christmas Day and then forget about it. I played that game for hundreds of hours. Frankly, into my teen years, I played that game. But what I remember most about it was not the fun I had getting that gift. It was the idea, maybe the first time, that it's okay to dare to hope. And that's why it was one of the most precious gifts I've ever received.
Amen. Beautiful story. Yeah. That's Christmas right there. A little selflessness. He is here. And the gift was there. And Brian, there is a large rectangular box right here. And you will have the largest gift under the charette tree this year again. So let's have a hand for the 9-year-old boy that lives in this man. It is Boston Bruins, I promise. And I'll come over and play one night with you, buddy. I love you, man. I love you. Now, he was surprised this morning. He didn't know he was going to get that. But you can't open it until the morning because that's what Americans do. Yes, yeah. Okay, all right. That's Christmas, my friends. I had that thought a few weeks back, and the Lord just said, wouldn't it be fun to give Brian that gift again? And I said, yes. And the idea was the gift was there, but the gift is here. And we're talking tonight just a bit about He is here. He is here. And I want you to know that He's present. And sometimes I don't know if we really believe this, that He is here. I mean, He is here. There's a scripture where the Lord says, where two or three have come together in My name, I am there among them. Do we believe? There's more than two or three of us here, and we have come together in His name. That's what Christmas Eve is all about. And He said, when you do that, I will be there in your midst. I am here. So not only did He come, not only is He coming again, but He also is here. His Spirit is here with us. He really is here. I was thinking just recently about this whole idea of how Bethlehem just missed Jesus. I mean, they were not ready for Him. They didn't believe He was coming, evidently. I mean, they had heard it, but it had been 400 years. God had been silent. And then all of a sudden, He's born in Bethlehem. And Bethlehem just pretty much missed Him. And this question kept coming to my mind. And it kind of was like, do we really believe He's coming again? You know, if He were to show up like tonight, would we be surprised by that? Probably, but would we be delighted? But more than that, would we be ready to meet Him? Would we really be ready to meet Him? Last Christmas, I performed a rescue, and it was the week of Christmas, and my beagle had passed away in June, and we were not going to have another dog, but it was just breaking the heart of our daughter Allison, and she would call and say, Dad, I don't think I could come to your house for Christmas. If you don't have a dog, it'll just be sad. And so I told Kim, I said, well, we want our daughter to come, So I said, well, go by the SPCA, okay? We'll just look. That was really what I had in mind, was just to look. You know, Adam, you know, told Eve, God had told Adam, don't eat the fruit. But when he translated that to Eve, he said, don't touch it. Don't look at it. You know, the idea is if we look and touch, we're going to own it. And I'm in the SPCA, and we're just going to look. And so we looked at a lot of dogs, and they were yappy dogs, and, you know, no dog that really appealed to me. And then we came by another kind of animal, a cat, I think they call. There were lots of cats, and I wasn't feeling that. And so don't send me emails now, cat people. And there was one more place we had missed where the dogs were, and when I turned the corner, man, I was in love. She was up here on the screen, but she disappeared. I was in love immediately. I just can't explain it to you. She just had my heart, and it's a beautiful story. And I was there, and she was there. And Sharon, would you open that door over there? Shh, real quiet. I want you to know that not only was she there, she's here. Come here, baby. Hey, Daddy, I told you I was going to introduce you to these people we've been praying for. Come here. Come on. Come, Daddy. Come, Daddy. Everything's okay. Yeah. There you go. Watch out for him. He's a cat person. Now, I want you to know that I wanted to pay it with a happy ending, you know? Look at that. Oh, man. Yes, she is. Are you doing okay? How are things going out in the car? I thought it may be a little cool out there for you, so I brought you in to let you know I love you. And you love me. And you know what? I'm not sure who rescued whom. And that's the question I've had in my heart ever since last December. But everything's good. This is church. And I know you're a Christian dog, and this is your first time in church. But I wanted the people to know that you are here. You're not just a story. You're not a figment of my imagination. Yep, that's Christmas tree, no present. Now, if Lucy could talk to you, she would tell you this. Christmas can change your life. Christmas can change your life. Okay, go with Mama. Go with your other owner. She's my dog. No, make no mistake about it. You have a hand for Lucy? Yeah. And so, I was thinking, you know, who rescued whom? I needed this dog, and I believe the Lord created her with me in mind. But then that other question, you know, kept coming to me. I had that question last year, who rescued whom? The question I had this year was, are we ready for his arrival, his re-arrival? This question has been just on my mind. You know, he is come. Not he has come, he is come. That's why at Easter we say he is risen. Not he was risen, he is risen. It's because he's here. He is born. Born is the king. He was born. Definitely he was born. But he is still being born in us. And that's what the song that we began the service with, the little prelude, said, be born in me. And tonight the question is, has he been born in you? We know he's born in Bethlehem, and that's important. But individually, what's most important is that he be born in us. That we would become the Bethlehem that he would be cradled in. And he would live with and within us. And so I love questions at Christmas. It seems like in the Advent season that these questions come. Now, the idea that I'm really trying to get at here is based around this scripture. In 2 Peter 3, 8, and 9. Let me read it and then I'll kind of get at the question that's really, really touching me. 2 Peter 3, 8, and 9. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So here's the question. I'm getting at it. I'm coming closer. We, during the Advent season, we put a lot of attention on the idea that we are waiting for him. But the question that's been in my mind during this Advent season has been this. We talk about how we are waiting on Jesus to come, but could it be more reality that actually he is waiting on us to come to him so he can come for us? He's patient. He doesn't want anyone to perish. Now think about, you think all the waiting you've done on God. You know, I hear people say sometimes, I'm just tired of waiting on God. And I think, wow. When I think about that, I think about all the times he waited on me. You know, this was the sense in my mind during this Advent season. I think if a day was like 1,000 years for you, think how much longer waiting is for God than it is for us. But this is love. This is the season where he is waiting for us to come to him. We know the scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. That's Christmas. That whoever believes in him will not perish. He doesn't want people to perish. We read that in 2 Peter. Will not perish, but have everlasting life. The song said, man will live forevermore. If Christ had not come, we would be only spiritually dead forever. But because he came, we can live forevermore spiritually. And so for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish. But I love the next verse. For God did not send his Son into the world to Bethlehem. He didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through his Son. And this Christmas, he may still be patiently waiting on some of us to receive that gift of friendship with God, relationship with God. You see, Christmas demands a response. That's what it's about. We must respond to Christmas. And so, Lucy would say, Christmas can change your life. And I would say, Lucy's a smart dog. She is so grateful. I have never met an animal like this. She is so easy. She's like an old man's dog, you know. She just does what you tell her. If I have a morning I'm sleeping in, she doesn't get up, try to get me up. She lays right there until my feet hit the ground. And then she watches me for a while to see if I really want her up. It's amazing. It's like a gratitude that she knows I rescued her. And I know that sounds weird, especially to cat people, but the idea is, I love cats. I raised a lot of them, so don't worry. I love cats. I say that just to play because now I have a dog. But it's like she has a gratitude. She's responding to me in some way. And think about how much more Jesus, who came and became the Savior, the sacrifice, and he's waiting on us to respond to him. In Christmas, the people who do statistics, say that our hearts are more open at Christmas time to respond to the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, than any other time of the year. So it's important that we linger here for just a moment. Now, my favorite Old Testament scripture about Christmas is found in Isaiah 9:6. It's a prophecy. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." The rest of it's good, but that's the part I really love. "For to us a child is born." Listen, friends, that's my dog. And I want you to know that Jesus is our baby. He's your baby. He's my baby. It says, "For to us a child is born. To us a son is given." Now, I really wanted to preach the longer version of my message, but I wouldn't know if you all would stay with me. So it was... Some people think I have the naughty list here. No, actually, this is my own printed copy of Luke chapter 2 in large font. And I hope that during the Christmas season, you'll take time to read the Christmas story and to see how wonderful it is. And I'm going to take one verse out of it. I'm going to take verse 11. And it goes right along with that Isaiah 9:6 verse. It says in Luke 2:11, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." Look. Luke is saying the same thing Isaiah said. Isaiah said, "A child will be born to you," and then Luke doesn't miss it. He says, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." He's our baby. We need this baby. Even if you don't like babies, you got to love this one. You got to love this baby because this is the Savior baby. This is the baby who came to put us right with God again. Listen, my goal would be tonight, if I could have a goal or a desire maybe, would be that no one would leave these premises with the same guilt and sin and shame that you pulled onto this parking lot with. That you would respond to Christmas and you would say, "Enough already. I'm turning my back on darkness. I'm turning my face to the light. I'm turning my back on sin. I'm turning my face to Him." This will be the greatest Christmas of all. There's a lady, her name's Dorothy Day. Maybe some of you are familiar with her. She was an activist for women's rights back in the day before it was popular. And she's also a journalist, and she converted to Christianity. And I read something that she wrote, and it just moved me. Listen to this. Maybe it will touch someone's heart. It touches mine. Dorothy Day said, "I'm so glad that Jesus was born in a stable because my soul is so much like a stable. It is poor and in unsatisfactory condition because of guilt, falsehoods, inadequacies, and sin. Yet I believe that if Jesus can be born in a stable, maybe he can also be born in me." Oh, I love that. What a beautiful illustration that He likes to be born in subordinary places. He's been born in the stable. Has he been born in you? Are you spiritually dying or are you spiritually alive? Now, I'm not offering you religion. Please don't get confused by that. Religion is just us climbing the ladder of our own self-righteousness, thinking we'll meet God at the top. We won't. Because when we get to the top, we see the ladder's against the wrong building. I'm offering you the gospel, the good news. The good news is Jesus coming down the ladder and meeting us at the bottom rung. This is Christmas. God came down the staircase of heaven with his bouncing baby boy and said, this is going to be your baby. This is going to be your Savior. This baby will put us back in right relationship. You just have to turn your back on sin and turn your face to him. Wow. Not religion. Religion will not get us closer to God. Often it takes us further away. Because religion is about doing. And I'm all for doing good. But the gospel, the good news, the relationship is all about being. And being. Knowing Jesus. And that's why Christmas came. That's why Jesus came at Christmas. He came as a baby. So that we would be drawn to him. Think about this. God became a baby. That's just humble stuff. But the reason he humbled himself to become a baby was he wanted to be our baby. And he wanted to lead us back to himself. Just, this is Christmas. This is Christmas. Now, my favorite New Testament scripture for Christmas has to be tucked away in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, the Apostle Paul. And I'm reading from the Living Bible is the translation or the paraphrase that I love it best in. Now listen, this is a gift exchange here. This, you talk about a Christmas gift exchange, this is it. For God took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sins. Then, in exchange, the sinless Christ, poured God's goodness into us. This is Christmas. When we embrace the baby of Bethlehem, the Christ of Calvary, the soon coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords, this is what we say yes to. We say, for God took the sinless Christ, his one and only Son, sinless, pure, spotless. He took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sins. Then in exchange, the sinless Christ, he poured God's goodness into us. And I hope you'll make that exchange tonight in this service. It won't be between you, me, and God. It'll be between you and God. You'll just say yes to his baby. And you'll turn your back on sin. You know, what is sin, Pastor Kerry? Well, the heart of sin is being in control of your own life. That's the heart of it. And so when we turn from sinning or sin, we turn from our own plans, which are not going to go well in the end. And they may not be going well even now. And so he sent the baby to disarm us from ourselves. And he says, if you will just trust me and let me be your Lord, that means the one who leads your life. I have a great plan for you. He doesn't want to hurt us. He wants to help us. And so if you would like to make that exchange this Christmas, where you would turn from sin and turn to him, where you would turn from dark and turn to light, then you will have received the present of Christmas. His presence in you. He's born in Bethlehem. Tonight he wants to be born again in Harrisonbury in the hearts of those who have not yet received him. And so I pray tonight that speaks to you as much as it did to me. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now I have read that scripture. I have preached on this scripture. I have taught on this scripture. I've seen Christmas card and Christmas card on this scripture. But I never saw it like I saw it this week. Let me show it to you. It's not going to show. For unto us a son is given. Now, take the first word and the last word. For given. Oh, I like that. Doesn't take much to move me, does it? For unto us a son is given. And why was that son given? So we could be forgiven. Wow. And we fight off a God like that? That's ludicrous. That we would fight off a God who would give us his baby that he might be born in us and we could live forever, spiritually forever, instead of be dead spiritually forever. Well, there is a word I've been playing with here at the end of the year, and if you're new here, I'll just introduce you to it. The word is Maranatha. It's become my new word. I told someone recently, I said, I think this idea of Maranatha is going to get me to the finish line. It has really pumped my heart. A Maranatha is the word that was used by the early church as they were under the Roman rule. They were being persecuted, tortured, killed. Up until then, the Christians had greeted each other, shalom, you know, peace. But the peace in their outward life was gone, so they chose a new word. The new word they chose was Maranatha. It means, amen, come Lord Jesus. And so last evening, I was making a last stop at a department store, make sure Kim's stocking's all full. And I met a man from the community. He's a believer. I don't know him real well, but we've had some conversations. And we had a good conversation in the parking lot about Christmas and everything. And then the last thing I said to him was, Maranatha! And I just turned and left. And I looked over my shoulder and went, I think it was a new word for him. It was a new word for me 2 weeks ago. Maranatha. Kim took me on a date Friday night. She took me at the Blackfriars, you know, a little Shakespeare gig up here in Stanton or down here in Stanton. And we saw my second favorite Christmas story. My first favorite one is Bethlehem. My second favorite is Dickens, The Christmas Carol, and Ebenezer Scrooge. And as I was sitting there, I mean, I laughed and cried and laughed and cried. I'm old. I'm getting emotional more than ever. And it was such a great portrayal. I mean, to see Ebenezer Scrooge with tears literally coming out of his eyes down his face, that was moving to me. And every time he would say, bah humbug, it was like the Lord said, don't you like your word better? Maranatha. I think the opposite of Maranatha is bah humbug. The idea is, come Lord Jesus. And if you'd like for him to come tonight in your heart, he certainly will. That's why I believe that he's being patient. Some people say, why hasn't the Lord come back? Things are so awful. Because he just doesn't want people to perish. And tonight he's in this room making his rounds, knocking on hearts' doors, just like Joseph was knocking on doors maybe in Bethlehem. He's knocking on doors to see if there's any room for him to be born again in the hearts and souls of men, women, boys, and girls. When Jesus was kind of getting toward the end of his ministry, in Luke 18 and verse 8, he made a statement. He said, when the Son of Man comes. Now, Jesus often called himself the Son of Man. We know he's the Son of God. But he took the more humble title, Son of Man. I believe he took it so he'd stay on mission and he wouldn't forget that he had come to save the sons and daughters of men. And Jesus made this statement. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? In other words, will he find people ready for his re-arrival? Tonight the question is, the Son of Man has come, is here tonight. Will he find faith in this room? Someone who would say, I'm going to put my trust in him. I believe he can be trusted. So with our hearts bowed for just a moment, I don't know exactly where you might be. But I do believe that the Spirit has been faithful, and I believe that we should have a prayer. Pastor Adrian is going to come, and he's going to bring a candle, and he's going to get a light from the Christ candle. And some of the pastors are going to help us as well, so we can get our fire lit a little more quickly, perhaps. I will say, just before I get to the prayer, I want to give a few ideas. It always seems best that if you want to get your candle lit, let the lit candle remain upright and the unlit candle be tilted. Okay, that's kind of the way it works. Also, if you have young souls with you, please watch them at all times. We have been known to set a few on fire, but nothing has ended in tragedy thus far. But we don't want to have to beat the fire out of some kid, even though some kid may need that. I don't know. It just came out that way. I'm sorry. We've got our candle now. And Pastor Adrian, would you light the flame? And I think we're going to dim the lights. I'll let you remain seated at first. If you're up at the top, we'll get some light up there to you. I think there are a few people still up top. Now, here's what I like to say. During this time of singing the carols, I want you, if you would like to make that gift exchange tonight, when you're singing these songs, just make them more than singing, okay? Make them responding. Let them be your response to Christmas. And just be saying through the singing, yes, Lord, tonight, I want this to be more than a ceremony. I want it to be transformation for my life. And I know that He's faithful and will meet you here. You would turn from sin and turn to Him. Turn from dark, turn to light. Turn from dying and turn to living. It's a wonderful way. Christmas can change your life forever if you will let the Christ of Christmas have an opportunity to prove His love to you. So let's sing and let's worship. And there's something about the candlelight at Christmas time. I can't explain it, and I'm glad I can't. It's too marvelous, too mysterious to explain. But I believe tonight lives are going to be changed forever because we came out on Christmas Eve, because we came to worship the King.
Christ was born.
stand together as we sing this final carol this evening. Silent night, holy night.
good for us that Christ the Savior is born. With our heads bowed for just a moment, tonight, if you would like to signal to heaven your thanksgiving, you've made the exchange that Jesus came to offer. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody's looking at you. Heaven's looking on. And if you would like to just lift your hand to heaven as a grateful gesture, please do that now. God sees your hands. Blessed be God. Blessed be our God. Amen. Bring that hand down and very carefully just sort of blow out your candle. I like to give the benediction to you here as the lights will come back a little for us. And our service went a little longer than we had planned. I'll take responsibility for that. The dog was not a part of the morning service. So, shh, don't tell anyone. And one cat person already texted me. So, I am a cat person. I love cats. This benediction that I want to pray and read, but it's really a prayer, it comes from someone in our own church. Sent me a card, and it's a Dave and Rita Gilbert. They have such a way with words. They love God so much, love the church so much, that I thought the blessing ought not just be mine. I thought you ought to be able to claim it. Isn't it a glorious wonder that the miracle of Christmas has changed our hearts so profoundly forevermore? Merry Christmas. Sure hope you know how very much we love you. Along with all the wonderful things Christmas can bring, we wish you a renewal of joy as in the first Christmas. The worthy one is with us. He who came down to us is coming again. May he find us awake, a-watching, and about his interests. There's no greater joy. We love you for keeps. Receive that, will you? Also today, or this evening, for our seventh year in a row, it's with great joy that we have a gift for each household. We have a Christmas ornament, and it is by far my favorite one yet. And we want to make sure that you come up after the service is ending right now in just a moment. It's a little gift with a bow that looks like hearts, and it simply but profoundly says, His presence is our present. His presence is our present, not just our gift, but His presence is our now. Our now. You know, one of the names of God is I am. That's very present tense. And so His presence is our present. And because He is our present, we have a future. And our past is under the blood of Jesus. That's a wonderful way to live, a wonderful way. And so now, as the service has concluded, I would like to say that our pastors are available. If you'd like someone to pray with you, I'd like for some of our pastors maybe to come up to the corners of the room. And also the little room we call the well, right across from the cafe. Usually there's people hanging out there who love to pray with you. If you just want someone to pray with you, it's not an intimidation, it's just an invitation that we would be available to you tonight. Thank you for coming and for your patience. And if you would come, the tubs are right here. There's two tubs of ornaments on the end of each altar right here. So send one person from your household. Now, if you don't live with your folks anymore, that means you got your own household. So please come get an ornament. And God bless you. God bless us, everyone. Merry Christmas.